Misanthrope Radio.
In my own way, I was born fully grown. I was born Illyrio Zapata, Domingo Francenzo, Juan Paco Medina Ruiz, Luis Vega Rosendo Sanchez. My father died shortly before I was born. He muled the cartel's product north of the border, and a balloon burst in his ass. Life got hard then. My mother was at work all the time, and I was left on my own. She said she used her mouth to make her living. I used to think that that meant singing, but now I'm not so sure.
Misanthrope Radio starts now. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 3 of Misanthrope Radio. Back in the day when I was in college, I sold tires at a Sears Tire and Auto Center. I think those places are all gone now. Sears is pretty much defunct in general, right? But anyway, I sold tires at a Sears Tire and Auto Center. And I worked for a guy, my boss, was a guy named Butch. And I'm not shitting you, his name was literally Butch. He was a literal Butch on his driver's license as Butch, because I didn't believe it either. I was like, what's your name, Franklin or something, like Milton or something fucked up, and you go by Butch? And he said, no, that's my actual name. And he looked at me like I'd lost my mind. I can't believe I'm the only person that ever asked him that question, but apparently I was. But anyway, as you can imagine, with a name like Butch, he was a man of few words. And he said something to me one time that really fucking stuck with me. But he was talking about one of my coworkers, one of the new hires, how he was constantly running his fucking yap. And he said something that I don't think I will ever forget. Butch, in his very laconic style, said this: people, when they meet you, automatically assume that you're a fucking idiot. The best thing you can do is keep your mouth shut, because when people open their mouths, more often than not, they confirm the assumptions. Now, I'm not going to say that Butch's words of wisdom changed my life in any way. I was never one to engage people in conversation anyhow. But I have to admit, even now when I meet new people or I find myself in a situation where I have to interact with someone that I just don't know, Butch's rich baritone rings in my fucking ears. People assume you're an idiot, so just keep your fucking mouth shut, lest you prove them right. It's astonishing to me that, especially in the day and age of the smartphone, more people don't just exercise their right to keep their fucking mouths shut. It's a phenomenon that was always there. There was always a person in the fucking room who couldn't stand silence or couldn't stand the blank space, who had to fucking prattle on about anything in order to get any kind of engagement from anyone. That was something that's always happened throughout human history. This is not new. However, in the wake of COVID, things have changed. I don't know whether it was the fucked up forced isolation. I don't know if the internet has made everyone feel like they're the star of any room they're in. I don't know if it's a side effect of the fucking vaccine. All I know is that before COVID, when you would find yourself in an enclosed space with someone you don't know, and they tried to engage you in small talk and you did not engage back, eventually they would either leave the enclosed space, or they would take on board that you were not interested in fucking talking to them, and they would shut the fuck up. Post-COVID, however, what I'm finding is that people try to engage me in small talk. They realize I'm not gonna fucking engage back, and then they just keep going and going and going, and the shit that they say gets more personal and more personal and more personal until they're revealing shit to me that they shouldn't fucking tell anyone. For example, the other day I was at Walmart getting my oil changed, sitting in that fucking glass-walled side room with a lady who was there to also get her oil changed. We were the only ones in the room, and this is the interaction.
Boy, they sure aren't moving very fast today, are they?
I offer her nothing but silence.
You ever have someone say a bunch of negative shit about you? Just tell everyone they know all your business? Well, the lady cuts my hair, Serena, she's been telling every lady who puts her ass down in that chair how I sleep with my dogs.
What?
It don't happen very often, but occasionally I like to get in the tequila, and next thing you know, them German shepherds is running a train on me. I'm not gonna lie, it feels good. It's the acceptance and the way that they love me and they cuddle me afterwards. God damn it, I just want to be held sometimes. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just want to be held.
And she tells everyone about this.
Do you believe that bitch? Tells everyone she sees. Every person sets her ass in that chair to get their hair did, gets the story of how Loretta likes to fuck her dogs. It's not something that I can control, okay?
Well, Loretta, there's always people who have negative things to say. What they say is a reflection of who they are instead of who you are.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Goddamn. I'm gonna say maybe once every 2-3 months I fuck all them dogs. It ain't something what happens all the time. It ain't like we're in love or nothing. It just happens. It just happens. And Serena acts like she ain't never fucked no dogs or thought about it.
Yeah, I totally understand, Loretta. That sort of thing could happen to anyone.
You're goddamn right it could. Okay, well, I got to go pay for my oil change. It's been so nice talking to you.
What the fuck? Now that was the much abridged version of my interaction with Loretta. Moving forward, I think I'm going to give you a taste of the entire progression. Same oil change, different skank. This chick identified herself as Brittany.
Do you have any idea what's going on in the world of hip-hop right now? I broke my phone the other day.
No, I don't really keep up with hip-hop.
Oh my god, then what do you keep up with? It's just, like, so fucking fascinating to me. It's like its own little world. The things that go on in the world of hip-hop, it's like its own little universe. It's just so fucking fascinating. I can't get enough of it, and I find myself subscribing to all of the different services that follow.
I don't even look up. I just sit there, looking down at my phone.
Of course, I've never met anyone famous, but I think that if I could, like if I was one of those like fucking Make-A-Wish kids or something like that, I think it'd be someone from the world of hip-hop, like Lil Juicy or Lil Gravy or Lil Chucky, one of those guys, I think. I think I'd fucking totally want to meet one of those guys. You know, my boyfriend and I, well, I should say my ex-boyfriend and I.
And here we go. Notice the progression. At first she asks something benign, like, how long do you think it's going to take to get my fucking oil changed? Then, do you happen to know anything about the world of hip-hop? Then, when I don't really engage, she continues fucking yapping, sitting there on the bench, incidentally surrounded by fucking magazines that she could use to occupy her time and keep her fucking mouth shut. Instead, she's hyper-focused on me, and she's prattling on and on and on, and now it's starting to get personal. Yeah, Brittany, why don't you go ahead and tell us about you and your fucking ex-boyfriend?
Well, my ex-boyfriend now, he was so smothering. He was so fucking controlling. He was a total fucking narcissist.
Oh yeah, narcissist. Lots of women are dating those.
I know. It's fucking crazy. It's like we're just fucking breeding narcissists.
What did he do that was narcissistic, Brittany?
Well, I guess it's like my own fucking fault, sort of in a weird like way, because we were having a conversation one day and I asked about hall passes, and he said that he didn't need a fucking hall pass for anyone, which is super fucking cute, but it's such a fucking lie, of course, because like if you could fuck anyone, why wouldn't you choose a celebrity? So I told him mine. Mine would be Little Crush or Little Pump or Little Nostril or Cheesy Fish Gravy or any one of those fucking hip-hop superstars. And he was super disgusted because, you know, he's insecure and he didn't know that I was into the blacks like that.
Yeah, Brittany sounds like a total narcissist.
So I embarked on a journey to find myself. Like, fucking, I need to know who I am. And naturally, that led me to OnlyFans. Because I'm not trying to fucking work. That's the thing, Jeremy, that was his fucking name. Everyone named Jeremy is super controlling. Did you know that? Statistically, more narcissists are named Jeremy than any other fucking name.
I had no idea, Brittany. That's super fascinating.
Isn't it? But Jeremy took care of all the bills and just fucking paid for everything. So it was kind of a fucking bummer that we broke up because, like, now, what am I going to do for money? So I started an OnlyFans.
Of course you did.
And it was really starting to pick up steam. And then I, like, fucking broke my phone, and now I don't even know what's going on. I don't know if I'm getting new subscribers or if I'm losing subs because I haven't been on for a few days. I'm, like, totally freaking out. I, like, recently did my first anal scene. I'd done anal before, like, in my personal life, but I'd never done anything with any kind of implements. You know what I mean? But anyway, I totally keistered a fucking bowling pin. It took forever, like for fucking ever, to get that bowling pin up there. It was so crazy and it hurt so bad. I just hope that I get so many subscribers and followers out of it.
Now, this is where I always reply with an inspirational meme that I've seen on the internet. Keistering bowling pins. Huh, good on ya. All things are difficult before they are easy. That was the only meme I could think of right off the top of my head that you could apply to anal. It was either that or a number two pencil in a dream can take you anywhere. I guess that could apply to anal as well.
Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. That's, like, so fucking wise. It's not that I, like, want to get good at keistering things like bowling pins and fire hydrants, but if it gives me a competitive edge and gets me in the top 1% of OnlyFans earners, I really just need a way to support my lifestyle. You know what I mean? Because work, it's just, like, not for me. Look at me, I'm fucking hot. Okay, well, I'm going to walk around the store. It's nice talking to you.
People can't fucking help themselves. They literally cannot help prattling on until they reveal too much. But that's the thing. That's the phenomenon that just blows my mind. There was a time when you would sit there after an encounter like that and go, fuck, did I just tell that motherfucker my entire life story? But I don't fucking think Brittany is out there walking the aisles of Walmart thinking, I don't even know that fucking guy's name. And I told him that I want to fuck basically everyone in the fucking world of hip hop. My ex-boyfriend paid for everything. And instead of getting a job, I'm just going to show everyone my asshole on the internet. What the fuck is going on? What the fuck is happening to people? Here's another interaction, and this is a little bit of a dramatization, but not fucking much. Back in season one of Misanthrope Radio, I did some kind of fucking silly little anecdote where one of my characters was talking about shitting on a coffee table. This interaction is where the inspiration for that fucking bit came from. I was down at the VA and I was waiting to get called back to get my fucking glasses adjusted. It was just me and one other guy. And I could tell by the look on his face, he was not going to be able to fucking sit there in silence and wait for his turn to get called back. No, he was going to fucking start with the small talk.
Hey man, you was in the Navy?
Yeah, I was in the Navy.
Hey, yeah, me too. Goddamn. I was in the Navy back in the 80s when we didn't do nothing. You know what I mean? Like, I can't even get into the VFW because there wasn't no fucking foreign wars to fight.
Yeah, I've met a lot of guys like that. Kind of a good deal, though, if you think about it.
Nah, goddamn, everybody asked me how many fucking kills I got and shit. I never even fired a fucking M4 or an M16. Nah, I just did your basic quals that you do at boot camp. The 9mm and the shotgun, and then that was it. Peacetime. I was a peacetime sailor. That was back in the days when we would sail from port to port basically just to fucking spend money.
Kinda sounds like a good time actually, dude. And then I go back to looking at my magazine. That's the thing about these fucking places. All of these places where you have random encounters, they're just littered in fucking magazines, periodicals, any newspapers, any manner of fucking reading material. But nobody fucking reads anymore, I guess. And they sure as hell aren't into letting me read. A few moments go by with no words exchanged. And then he starts in again.
Nah, I was just sitting over here thinking about that time I was in Australia. Did you ever make it down to Australia?
No, I was an East Coast sailor, so we went directly to the fucking Middle East and then turned around and came directly back.
Oh man, you missed out. Them fucking Australian ladies, god damn, they were some fucking dirty little whores.
I say nothing and just look back down at my magazine.
We made port in one of their towns. I'm trying to remember the name of the fucking town. I think it was Perth. It wasn't Sydney, I know that, but I think it was Perth. And they met us on the fucking pier. It's like they were lined up, ready to fucking get a hold of some of that fucking United States sailor dick. They wanted American cock, you know what I mean? They needed some American jizz.
And so the conversation starts to turn.
I got hooked up with a couple ladies down there. Cynthia and fucking Shiloh or something like that. I can't remember her name exactly. Of course, it probably wasn't even their real names. You know what I mean? But anyway, got hooked up with a couple of those chicks, and they showed me something I'd never seen before in my entire life, and ever since they showed me that, I've never been able to get enough. You want to hear about it?
And then he got up, and he moved over and sat right next to me.
This one of those things that you don't really want to say too fucking loud. You know what I mean? It's like everybody knows that this shit goes on, but nobody really talks about it. You know what I mean?
I give him a sideways glance and then go back to staring at my magazine.
These two chicks and I, we did a whole lot of fucking blow. Like a fucking mountain of goddamn cocaine. Of course, it was the 80s. Cocaine was raining from the fucking heavens. Like, everybody had coke. You know what I mean? Except the Africans. There wasn't no fucking cocaine in Africa. They didn't know what to do with that shit down there. But if you were anywhere in the Navy other than Africa, you had fucking coke. The fucking cocaina. You know what I mean? It was fucking everywhere. Anyway, these two ladies and I did a fucking mountain of goddamn cocaine, a mountain of that shit. And then Shiloh grabs me by the hand and lays me down on the ground. And I'm thinking, okay, this shit here's about ready to kick off. And that's when the other girl, now I don't remember her fucking name now. It's been a long time. I just told you her name. Was it Cynthia? I think it was Cynthia. And now Cynthia strips down butt naked. Now, okay, listen. Them fucking Australian girls, like even the ugly ones are solid sixes or sevens over here. But Cynthia strips down butt naked and then she straddles a coffee table and she tells me to go ahead and scoot up underneath that coffee table. I don't know what the fuck is getting ready to happen. These wild fucking down under bitches are blowing my mind. But I got a head full of cocaine and I'm feeling pretty good. That's when Shiloh fucking starts tugging my pants down and playing with my old fucking hammer. You know what I mean? And then Cynthia squats down over that glass coffee table and takes a giant, steamy, fucking half-ass runny shit right on that glass. It blew my fucking mind. I'm not gonna say it was sexual, because it kind of wasn't, but at the same time, it kind of was. Man, but fucking Australia. Australia in the 80s was the place to be. You really missed out. And as if on cue, the optometrist assistant calls my fucking name. I get up, thank him for his service, walk back, get my fucking glasses adjusted, and basically sprint out the door of the fucking VA. So I tell you these stories and give you these little vignettes and anecdotes for this reason here. Give it a shot. Find yourself in an enclosed space with someone you don't know. Don't interact with them in any way and watch what happens. Now, in fairness, 85 to 90% of the time, what you're going to see is somebody bury their fucking head in their cell phone. And that's just fucking fine. That's actually perfect. That's all anyone could ever ask for in an interaction. Don't interact with me. But that 10%, that 10 people out of 100, or that one person out of 10 who's not going to be satisfied to read the fucking magazines and old newspapers, or dick around on their fucking phone, or watch the fucking Price is Right on the shitty TV in the waiting room. That person, that 1 in 10, that diamond in the rough, is going to give you something to talk about for years and years if you just follow these simple instructions. Do not engage. Do not interact. Do not buy into the small talk, because once you buy into the small talk, you're in small talk land. So if you don't engage in the small talk, they'll eventually move on to something a little bit more personal, a little bit more important to them, a little bit closer to home. Engage with that minimally, just to be polite, and then watch them fly off the fucking rails from there. It happens everywhere I go. It's absolutely the pinnacle of idiotic humanity. And on one hand, it's fucking super annoying. But on the other hand, I'm fucking here for it. How can I not be? I would have never got that fucking shitting on the coffee table story if I hadn't had that stupid motherfucker at the VA not be able to fucking keep his mouth shut. So I did get that fucking nugget, and it was wonderful, and I've used it on Misanthrope Radio, I guess technically twice now. But for the most part, it's just fucking annoying. All right, on to the next segment.
Welcome to the Boomer Bunker Podcast, straight out of Jersey, where we don't sugarcoat a damn thing. We call it like we see it. Loud, proud, with a side of attitude. Politics, culture, everyday nonsense. Forget about it. We're diving in. If you want polite and polished, go listen somewhere else. But if you want real talk, Jersey grit, and laughs, this is your spot. The Boomer Bunker Podcast. Jersey tough, boomer bold. Check us out at boomerbunker.com or listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Segment two.
I watched the craziest fucking video the other day. It was this poor fucking middle-aged bastard standing at the fucking stove cooking. And while he was cooking, his wife, I'm assuming it was his wife, was standing there recording him while he was cooking and while she was berating him, telling him that this is what he needs to be doing and this is what he deserves to be doing, and she shouldn't have to fucking cook for him, and frankly, she's not gonna fucking cook for him anymore.
And this is the sort of thing that he should be doing for her after his fucking 12-hour shift. She's been at home, all by herself, trapped up in that fucking house, all day. And what she should be able to expect when he gets home is for him to walk in, drop his fucking gear on the table, and get to work preparing her a home-cooked meal. And she was shit-talking him the whole time, and you could see how humiliated he was, embarrassed. You could see on his face the wonder, why do I put up with this shit? Well, frankly, it's cheaper to keep her. But back to the video, I gotta say, I think the video was satire. I really do. I can't imagine any man standing there taking that fucking beating from that stupid fucking broad after a 12-hour shift. I just don't see it. But maybe I'm wrong. So I watched that video and I was really, frankly, kind of upset. Upset at the possibility and even probability that not only did that bastard have to experience something like that, but that his experience, if it's real, was not at all unique. And furthermore, now I didn't put any fucking effort into researching it. Frankly, I didn't feel like being pissed off that day. But furthermore, I can only imagine the types of comments that a video posted on the fucking social media would garner. You go, girl. Burn your fucking bra. Gloria Steinem would be so proud, blah, 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 shit like that. And then when I was editing the last bit, specifically the part where Brittany was talking about how she just got out of a shitty relationship and she was finding herself by ramming things in her ass on OnlyFans. As I was editing that bit, something occurred to me. Something that I can't believe I hadn't thought of before. Something that I can't believe is not talked about more. Women throughout the course of human history have been using small dogs, random implements, rocks, vegetables, and now fully automated latex-covered implements in order to get themselves off. And they've been doing it in the name of self-care and self-love and self-pleasure because men just don't know what the fuck they're doing down there. They can't find the fucking G-spot. They don't know where the clit is. They wouldn't know a labia from a Labrador. So we gotta take matters into our own hands. Because we're empowered. We burned our fucking bras. We don't cook for nobody. We're not doing laundry. We're not cleaning shit. We only want to work certain jobs and now we don't even need your penis. Women have been fucking everything, including men, since the beginning of time. So why is there such a stigma attached to men doing the same thing? Think about it. It's just taken as understood that whatever's in the nightstand on your wife's side of the bed, you don't fucking talk about. It's just taken as understood that when she goes to those fucking parties with her girlfriends and comes home with a black bag full of shit, you're not to really ask what's in that bag. It's just taken as understood that implements are part of a woman's sex life. So why is there such a fucking stigma attached to men doing exactly the same thing? Well, in my very simple mind, I think it's fairly obvious. Women have been in control of straight male pleasure since the beginning of time, and they are not in any hurry to relinquish that power. Think about it. If you're a man of a certain age, what stupid shit have you done in order to get laid? Men will do almost anything in order to get a woman to say yes. Why? What the fuck for? Take a fucking step back. Take a 700-foot view of the situation, of your situation. Why are you doing all of the shit you do in order to get fucking 15 seconds in some vagina? What for? Why? Why do you deal with it? Why do you deal with all the fucking mood swings and the horse shit and the needless expense? Why are you living in a fucking house where you're surrounded by shit that is not yours? Why are you doing this? Because it's what you thought you were A, supposed to do, and B, the only way you can get laid is to have one live in the house. So I'm here today to tell you there's a better way. On the market for years, there's been a thing called a fleshlight. You know what a fleshlight is? Let me tell you. It's a very simple cylinder with a latex mock-up of a vagina. You literally put your dick in it and fuck it. And then when you have finished, hopefully you clean up, But you don't have to. It's your fleshlight, and there's not some annoying fucking woman attached to it. So you can literally just throw it in a drawer and go live your fucking life. No cuddling, no fucking runs to get chocolate with your fucking dick stuck to your leg, no passing out and waking up to some girl screaming and asking who you are and how she got here. None of that shit. All of that shit goes away with the purchase of a fleshlight. But women are evil geniuses. Like I said earlier, they have had the monopoly on straight male pleasure since the beginning of time, and they're in no fucking hurry to relinquish that power. That's why no one's talking about this. Everyone's scared to be labeled an incel, or a pervert, or to be told that their animal instincts are just fucking disgusting. Everyone is scared to be labeled something, a deviant in some way. Well, fortunately for all of mankind, I am not scared of such labels. Your boy Lorenzo's gotcha. And I am here today to champion the cause. I will be the poster boy, the champion. Can we just goddamn normalize fleshlights for men? I mean, look at the shit that women are doing.
The Cervix Sandblaster 3000. With a powerful Briggs & Stratton motor, this fuck toy will guaranteed get your juices flowing or your money back. Pair with optional patented rectal wrecker attachment and daddy's home throat grabber, and your lonely nights will transform into hours of pleasure. Please use in a well-ventilated area and keep away from children.
But I'm a fucking pervert if I have a fleshlight. How about this?
Ladies, experience the newest thing in self-pleasure, the anal assault colon catastrophe. Bore out your butthole with best-in-class low-end torque. The 4-speed automatic transmission will have you scream coming all the way to your colostomy bag surgery. Our signature gyration and patented bad girl ass spanking attachment will remind you why anal assault is at the forefront of booty banging. Get yours today.
But I'm a fucking incel if I have a fucking fleshlight. Or what about this?
Hey girls, listen up. I want to introduce you to the best thing I ever did for myself. When my boyfriend dumped me, I thought my love life was over. But boy, was I wrong. My mom introduced me to Tyrone, and now I am here to give you the same gift she gave me. Meet Tyrone. Tyrone is a fully automated pleasure bot made by the most trusted company in the sex toy industry. Creamy Fist. Tyrone will fuck, lick, suck, bite, grab, choke, and pound you into tomorrow without the credit hit and threat of domestic violence. Allow me to demonstrate. Tyrone, get hard. Tyrone, tell me what you want to do to me.
Bitch, I'm gonna fuck the hell out of you. I'm gonna beat the dust off that pussy. I'm gonna beat that pussy all the fuck up. Go all up in your guts with this fucking dick. With this fucking dick. With this fucking dick.
Tyrone, that's enough now. Put it away. Get your own Tyrone today. CreamyFist.net is accepting orders. Don't delay.
But I am a filthy fucking deviant degenerate if I have a fleshlight. Men, listen to me. Listen to your champion Lorenzo. Listen to me speak the truth. You don't have to fucking live this way. If you're a guy who couldn't get laid in a morgue, buy a fleshlight. If you're a guy who's just getting started on your own and you're not really trying to chase women, buy a fucking fleshlight. If you're a dude who is fucking predisposed to rape, buy a fucking fleshlight, rape the shit out of it, and then throw it in a drawer. Or if you're just a fucking guy who is sick of her fucking shit, buy a fucking fleshlight and throw that bitch out in the street and tell her to stop fucking bothering people. Listen, I know the point of us being on this earth is to procreate and carry on the bloodlines and blah, 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 and all of that fucking bullshit. The bottom line is, you need to change the way you think. Motherfucker, you're already alive, okay? Fuck future generations. Fuck the fucking birth rate. Who gives a shit? Bill Gates has been trying to depopulate this fucking earth forever. The COVID vaccine was nothing but a fucking sterilization program. I defy you to fucking prove me wrong. So lean in. Agree. Stop going out there chasing fucking chicks. Stop changing who you are on a fundamental level in order to satisfy the opposite sex. Give it a fucking rest. Buy a fucking fleshlight. And tell those bitches to take a hike. Buy a fucking fleshlight. Get out from under the thumb of these fucking broads. Vagina is great.
It really is. I fucking love it. But is it worth all of the fucking shit that comes along with it? Of course not. All right, I gotta stop. Thank you for listening to this episode of Misanthrope Radio. This is where I'm supposed to say like, share, and subscribe and shit like that. Well, I'm not going to fucking do that. My only thing is I hope you dig the show. That's all I want. I want you to follow Misanthrope Radio version 2.0 on whatever podcast app you prefer. And when you see a new episode pop up, I want you to go, oh, shit. Let's see what Lorenzo has in store for us this week. That's all I want. That's literally as ambitious as I get. All right, until next time.